Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everyone, welcome to a new episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. I'm your host, Lucas Han. Today is Wednesday, March 15th, 2017. This is our middle episode of the week. We are here Monday through Friday every week with new episodes. So, two from earlier this week that you can go check out on iTunes or Audio Boom. And then there's two more coming the next couple days, so keep an eye out for those. I think I'm going to keep this episode pretty brief. As you guys know, I normally record episodes the night before, so this is actually Tuesday night that I'm recording Wednesday's episode. And because of weird snowstorm weather situation, I didn't end up recording Tuesday's episode until Tuesday afternoon. So it's actually only been about 8 hours since I did the last episode from when I'm recording this one. So, you know, as you can imagine, there's not a lot new to talk about in the last 8 hours. A quick rundown of what we went over in the last episode if you didn't manage to catch that one. Although I would definitely recommend it because, like I said, this one's going to be brief. But that one we went a little bit more over the Clippers-Utah game from Monday, as well as sort of upcoming seeding, all that good stuff. So right now the Clippers are two losses back from the Utah Jazz with one head-to-head remaining. The Clippers win. If the Clippers lose that game, they're not going to get the 4 seed. If the Clippers win that game against Utah, they need to make up basically one more loss in the other 14 games to tie with the Jazz, and then they would have the tiebreaker over the Jazz. If they lose that last game against Utah, pretty tough to see a situation where they're able to get home court advantage in the first round. But home court advantage in the first round really isn't the biggest thing, because presumably the Clippers should beat the Jazz in the first round either way, to be honest. Home court advantage makes it an easier series, and getting home court advantage is an indicator that the Clippers were able to, you know, get hot and finish the season well and hopefully be peaking in time for the playoffs. But really, as long as they're in that 4-5 matchup, they feel good about playing the Jazz. And what's way, 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 way more important is that the San Antonio Spurs right now are in first place in the Western Conference. Now, at the time that I'm recording this Tuesday night, I don't know yet if Golden State wins or loses. So Golden State is hosting the Philadelphia 76ers. The score is like 8-2 in the first few minutes of the game right now. Philadelphia is up, actually, but it doesn't really matter. If the Warriors win this game, they'll pull a half game ahead of the Spurs. The Spurs host the Portland Trail Blazers tonight, Wednesday night. So if Spurs win that game, they'll pull back into a tie. What really matters is the loss column. Each team has 14 losses. They have one head-to-head game remaining. The Spurs have the tiebreaker. This means that if the Spurs win that head-to-head game, it's going to be tough. You know, it's not like the Warriors can't do it, but if they win that head-to-head game, they're feeling really good. If they lose that game, it's going to be a much more contentious race, especially because we have to see how much the Warriors push for it versus staying healthy, resting their guys, and just gearing up to try to win the NBA championship from the 2 seed, which is something that, honestly, they would probably still be the favorites to win the championship even if they went into the playoffs as the 2 seed. For the Clippers, it's great because they don't want to play the Warriors. They want to push that off as long as possible. If they can play the Jazz in the first round and the Spurs in the second round, that is like two thumbs up ideal. You'd rather have home court than go on the road, but with where the Clippers have been since December, if you told me that you can get Utah in the first round and San Antonio in the second round, I would have said, fine, just stay healthy. So if the Clippers are in a spot right now where they can get Utah in the first round and San Antonio in the second round, fine. Stay healthy, get to the playoffs, worry about You know, get win games in the playoffs. Don't worry about one regular season game here or there. That doesn't mean that they can't, you know, try to win regular season games. The Clippers have 15 games left. They have 40 wins. It would be nice to see them win at least 10 of these last 15 to get to that 50-win threshold. I know it doesn't really mean anything, but I just feel like finishing below 50 wins would kind of be a disappointment, even with the team having had all the health issues they've had. I do think that their schedule is soft enough coming down the stretch that they could potentially win more than 10 of those games, maybe even up into like 13 or 14 of the 15, but we'll see how that goes when, you know, it's that, like I said, it's not the biggest concern. The other thing that I talked about a little extensively in the last episode is that the Clippers are interested in Omri Caspi. Caspi, the 40% three-point shooting combo forward who was in Sacramento, traded along with DeMarcus Cousins to New Orleans, got injured in New Orleans and cut, and is now a free agent. He's back from that New Orleans injury ahead of schedule. He's been cleared to play basketball, and reportedly he's choosing between the Clippers and Memphis Grizzlies. So not only does adding Caspi help the Clippers because it takes him away from the Grizzlies, who are another tough Western Conference team that they could potentially end up seeing at some point in the playoffs, although with the Clippers sitting at 5 and the Grizzlies at 7, it doesn't seem hugely likely, but you know, you never know. If the Clippers were to drop to 6, yeah, it's whatever happens, having him away from the Grizzlies helps the Clippers at least moderately. But having him on the Clippers could also help a ton too. He's a good shooter. He can play the 3 and the 4. I do worry about, I mentioned this yesterday and went into a little more detail about it at the end of yesterday's episode if you want to go back and hear me talk about Caspi a little more. But it worries me if Doc tries to stick with the full second unit with Felton, Crawford, Rivers, Caspi, and Spates. That unit worries me defensively, and it worries me that there's not enough gravity pulling defenders in into the painted area on offense to really space the floor for the slashers and shooters on that unit. Similar to how Brandon Bass helps that unit when he comes in for Wesley Johnson because he sets screens and rolls to the rim, Caspi's not a roll guy. He's a pop guy. He shoots threes. So he's not going to bring that gravity that Brandon Bass does where he gets those big dunks. On the defensive end, he doesn't bring the same gluey stuff that Wesley Johnson does. So I'm worried about that unit on both ends if you put Caspi in, although I think if Doc Rivers is willing to stagger DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin, play Blake with Spates and Caspi with Jordan, I think that could really bring the most out of this roster come playoff time. So I would actually be very, very excited to see what that would look like, getting a 40% three-point shooting combo forward next to DJ for 12 minutes a game and putting a 40% three-point shooting center next to Blake for 12 minutes a game. The other 24 minutes, obviously, you have Blake and DJ, two NBA All-Stars, playing together. That sounds pretty good to me at the 4 and 5 positions. Then it just comes down to what the guards are bringing you. But those four guys, if you stagger the minutes like that, I think would be kind of a great little squad for the Clippers at the power forward and center positions. Now getting a little bit into tonight's game against the Milwaukee Bucks. The main thing I think for the Clippers, you know, like I've said this over and over again in the last few weeks, after the push for the 3 seed became unrealistic, it's just about being patient, biding your time, making sure that you stay healthy and peak at the right moment for the NBA playoffs. You don't want to be peaking right now and then 2 weeks from now start going down again. You want to slowly get in rhythm, build yourself up, figure out your rotation, you know, make sure everyone's on point with the defensive schemes, and then really start to get into gear in the last couple weeks of the season in the first round of the playoffs. So one guy who's really not in gear lately is Blake Griffin. In the Clippers' last 4 games, he has 16, 14, 15, and 8 points. He has not shot 50% from the field in a single one of those games. He's turning the ball over a lot. He seems unsure with his passing in a way that we really hadn't seen since he came back from his injury in late January. And, you know, it's been worrisome, but not necessarily because Blake is a bad player, just because he's in a slump and you really want to make sure you get him going. Like I said, you know, you don't necessarily want or need Blake Griffin to be putting up triple-doubles every night in the third week of March. You want to make sure he's healthy and pacing himself and getting in a good rhythm for the playoffs. What's happening right now is that he's not in a good rhythm. He's uncomfortable on the floor. He's shooting the three ball more than ever in his career in the last month, but he's not quite comfortable in those spots, so you'll see uncertainty and hesitation that lead to him having turnovers or missed shots in situations where if he was a little more confident and had maybe had some more reps as a three-point shooter, it would be a natural play where he could, you know, there's one play a few games ago where he caught the ball for three, pump faked, defender flew by, he started to dribble in, and then realized, wait, no, I should take a three because threes are better, and tried to step back, but by then the defender was back, so he tried to pass it and he threw it away. There was a similar play in a recent game where he caught the ball and like didn't really look to shoot and then realized the shot clock was down, and by the time he finally shot it, it wasn't in rhythm and the defender was a lot closer to him. So that, I think that, you know, trying to evolve his game a little bit might be contributing to that discomfort for Blake Griffin, but it's something that he really needs to work through in the next 3 to 4 weeks. And if it's something that he's not ready to do, the Clippers need to pretty soon decide we're going to table Blake as a three-point shooter, revisit it in the summer, revisit it next year, and try to get him 82 games of that instead of getting him 20-25 games to assimilate into that three-point shooting role. That's another area where adding Omer Caspi might help, because then you need Blake to space the floor less because you have a great floor-spacing power forward to play next to DeAndre Jordan, and then you can move Blake and play him more next to Mo Spates, who spaces the floor, so it lessens that burden on Blake a little bit. But that's one big thing for the Clippers, I think. The other thing has got to be rebounding. I don't have numbers up in front of me, but it feels like every game, or almost every game for the last few weeks, the Clippers have had a huge rebounding disparity. And that's really a shame to see. You know, the Clippers have not been a great rebounding team in recent years, but they've been okay. They've been average. They're not the kind of team that's going to come in and out-rebound opponents by 20, 25 boards, but you'd hope that they're not the kind of team that is going to consistently get out-rebounded 42-28 against the Utah Jazz like they did on Monday. I actually don't even have in front of me how good Milwaukee, the Clippers' opponent tonight, I don't know how good Milwaukee is at rebounding. All I know is that the Clippers are like the worst, they've been playing like one of the worst rebounding teams in the league lately, so that's something that Milwaukee is going to give them trouble on, because any team in the league would be giving them trouble on the glass. The Clippers really need a strong resurgence, and it's not just from Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan, but they need other guys chipping in. They need two or three rebounds from J.J. Redick. All those guards coming off the bench, Felton, Rivers, Crawford, all of them need to be getting two, three, four rebounds. And then, you know, then it starts to add up. But if it's just DeAndre Jordan getting seven and Blake Griffin getting four and the guards aren't contributing, or even if DeAndre Jordan gets 12 and Blake Griffin gets 10 but the guards aren't contributing, it's hard. You need both. You need Blake and DJ to both be getting up there in the double digits in rebounding or close to it. And you need the guards chipping in on those long rebounds, making sure they box out. You know, if especially when DeAndre's going up against a guy like Rudy Gobert, he's got his hands full just getting Gobert off the offensive glass. The other guys need to come in and get that defensive rebound. And the Clippers have struggled with that. So hopefully they can really pick the rebounding up. The guy to watch for on Milwaukee is the same guy who we talked about a couple of weeks ago when these teams played, Giannis at Antetokounmpo. You know, I got the Giannis down. You know, some people still say like Giannis or whatever because they haven't heard it pronounced. But Giannis is pretty easy. No matter how many times I hear that last name, I struggle with it. But the Greek freak, one of the better young players in the NBA, against the Clippers in a game a couple weeks ago, had 24 points, 8 assists, and 5 rebounds, shot 10 of 13 from the field. That's crazy. So this is a guy who does not shoot well outside the painted area. He doesn't shoot the three ball well. He doesn't shoot mid-range jump shots well. He really does most of his scoring inside the paint. He did make, I think, one of two mid-range jump shots against the Clippers, but he's not killing you from there. He shoots 28% from three on the season. Of his 16 field goal attempts a game, only 2.5 come from three. So he's inside the arc a lot. So what I don't understand is why you know, this is something that frustrated me watching the Clippers play against him last time. Step off of him. Remember how teams used to play Rajon Rondo? You just need to step off of him. Let him drive at you, you know, and then do, you know, try to keep him away from being within eight or five feet of the rim. But if he's standing at the three-point line with the ball, give him 8 feet of space. Stand at the free throw line while he's at the three-point line. That way you take away so many driving angles because you have such an advantage, and you force him to shoot. And if it were a guy like even Blake Griffin or Chris Paul, they would shoot that jump shot because they're more comfortable shooters. Giannis isn't there yet in his progression. And maybe the league, you know, he's had such a emergence in the last year and a half. Maybe the league hasn't quite adapted to realize that this is how to guard him. But I think sooner or later, you have to say, okay, let's just stop this guy. If we shut him down, we beat this team, and it's as simple as that. If Milwaukee does make the playoffs this year, and right now they are half a game ahead of the Chicago Bulls for eighth place in the East. Actually, the Miami Heat are also tied with Chicago, so Milwaukee's right on the ropes there. If they do make the playoffs, I have to imagine Cleveland is just going to let him shoot himself to death, shut down everyone else, and sweep them. There's really no reason why the Clippers, when you know a guy can't do anything outside of the paint, and he's not a post-up player, he's a driver. If he can drive and he can't shoot, how is he getting 11 of 13 field goal attempts inside the paint? Now, part of it, you know, this rant might seem a little overly critical of Giannis, like it's easy to stop him. It's not easy to stop him. He's very good at getting there. He's an amazing driver. He's athletic as all hell with lanky arms. He has great control of the ball for a guy with his size and stature. And he cuts well, and his teammates can find him. But you still should be able to defend him better and force him to go work on a jump shot this summer and then come back and be, you know, a really tough guy to defend. Right now it seems like, yeah, he's gonna get his points, but, you know, it's the same thing with Blake Griffin. It's like, except Blake Griffin had a post game, and Giannis doesn't have the post game as much as Blake does. So hopefully the Clippers, you know, the other thing is that the Clippers don't see the Bucks very often, and they probably aren't very worried about the Bucks. It's not like when you go to play the Cavaliers, and it's certainly not like a Western Conference team that you face four times a year or are worried about, you know, scouting them and getting ready to play them in the playoffs. But after playing them a couple weeks ago, I hope the Clippers are a little more ready for the Bucks and Giannis this time and can do a better job on defense against him. So that's what I'd watch for. I'd watch for Blake to, you know, try to start to get back on track. I'd watch for the Clippers to hopefully start rebounding as a team and then see how they defend Giannis, because they did a really poor job on it scheme-wise, I thought, last time. That being that, we will obviously talk about the Clippers-Bucks game tomorrow. We'll talk about the result of this Golden State-Philadelphia game that's going on right now. That is 24-22 Philadelphia late in the first, as I conclude this podcast. We'll talk about Utah's game tonight. They're visiting Detroit. And obviously, as I said, San Antonio hosting the Portland Trailblazers. And we're going to call an episode with that. If you have any comments or questions or feedback, feel free to tweet at me at LucasJHan or email me lhan.clipsnation@gmail.com. You can follow Clips Nation at ClipsNationSBN. You can read the articles on the Clips Nation blog, ClipsNation.com, and follow Clips Nation on Facebook. Just type Clips Nation in the Facebook search bar and click like. Thanks for listening, everybody. This is Lucas Han signing off for Locked On Clippers.